And Christian, you're going to understand one day what really was going on while you were going through all this stuff and it was driving you crazy and you started drinking straight caffeine and you just couldn't function. And you're going to go, oh, God is so big and so smart. He knows what he's doing. You're panicking. You're afraid. You don't need to. You don't need to ever be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. This was God.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse by verse, through the Bible. Continuing in Genesis chapter 45, Joseph can no longer hold back and reveals his true identity to his brothers. Here's Pastor Bob.
Then, chapter 45, Joseph couldn't hold back any longer. Joseph could not refrain himself. Before all them that stood by him, he cried out, he yelled out, cause every man to get out away from me. Get everyone out of here, all the servants and everyone. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept out loud, the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh. So he's close to the palace. The crying was so loud, Pharaoh is going to ask in a moment, what's going on over there? What is going on at Joseph's place? He's crying is what he's doing. Joseph had seen all that he needed to see, everyone. You can't judge someone's heart. You can't know. But their actions are speaking really loudly here. They are different than they were all those years ago. They weren't about to give up Benji just to save themselves. They're going to stick together. That's not the heart for more. They didn't care about what happened to their father back then. It's going to break his heart that Joseph is gone. They don't care. They're glad Joseph's out of their hair. Now it's a different heart. And it's the kindness and the goodness and the mercy of God that leads us to repentance. And Joseph had seen it all. He had seen enough. It looks like he's heard enough, and that's all he needed to hear. And he broke down in tears. He sent everyone out of the room except his brothers. This time he wept out loud, didn't care who was hearing it. He was so filled with emotion. Verse 3 says this, Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. But he said it to them in Hebrew. And they're going, wait, what? I'm Joseph. Is it true? Is my father still alive? He'd be 130 years old, you know. And his brethren couldn't speak a word. They were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me. Come here, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Ouch. He wanted them to know it was him, so only he could know that they sold him into slavery, he and them. Nobody else knew it, right? And so he said, it's me, it's really me, your brother, the one you sold into slavery. Now, therefore, do not be grieved. Don't be sorry. Don't be sad. Don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. That's two times in 45 seconds. Don't be grieved or angry with yourselves that you sold me. For God, absolutely, he did send me before you to save your life. I see it now. He sent me on ahead. All that suffering, all that misery. You're talking about almost 13 years in the dungeon for a crime you didn't commit. You're talking about being away from your family, thinking you're never, ever going to see him again. How hard was that? And Joseph looks back and goes, yeah, I didn't like it. It was hard. But this is so cool. Who cares? For these 2 years hath the famine, verse 6, been in the land. And yet there are 5 years. There's five more in which there shall be earing nor harvest. There won't be anything growing. There won't be anything to eat. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not that you that sent me here, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. I mean, I'm his right-hand guy. Pharaoh looks to me for everything, he says. And Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Put that together. He's weeping so loud everybody can hear it. I'm Joseph. Is it true my father is still alive? They are shocked. They are stunned. God's word says the brothers were so shocked and stunned. They were speechless. They were overwhelmed. If this is Joseph, we're dead and we deserve it. And they know it. They're instantly afraid. This is Joseph. We're dead. The language communicates the idea that they were frozen with fear, petrified. They couldn't speak any. I'm Joseph. He tries to calm them. No, I'm serious. It's really me. Come near. Take a look. Just look at my face. I'm Joseph. I'm the one you sold into slavery. He couldn't have known that if he wasn't Joseph. And they're going, oh, this is really crazy. Don't be afraid. Don't be full of fear. Don't be grieved and don't be mad at yourself. This was the Lord God. God himself did this to me. I don't blame you. I was mad. I confess it. But I don't blame you at all. I understand now why he gave me the dreams. And Christian, you're going to understand one day what really was going on while you were going through all this stuff and it was driving you crazy and you started drinking straight caffeine and you just couldn't function. And you're going to go, oh, whew. God is so big and so smart. He knows what he's doing. You're panicking. You're afraid. You don't need to. You don't need to ever be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. This was God. I like it. He says, the famine has been going 2 years. It's going five more. I already know. Pharaoh had the dream, and God told me what it meant. The Lord sent me out to preserve your lives, to save the whole family. It wasn't you. Yeah, it was you, but it wasn't you. Your sin was still sin. But God uses everything for good to those who love the Lord. You've read that somewhere. It's just that you don't want to believe it when you're going through something that's really ugly. And it's miserable and you hate every second of it. And you think, I just want to run away. And you, instead of saying, Lord, I don't get it and I don't need to. Just lead me on. Wow. I think it's difficult for most of us to grasp. I think it is. You know, because we talk about God being sovereign. I've heard some of you, I say it. God is in control of everything. And a little virus comes along and everybody, Christians, I mean, we saw true colors of the churches, not just around here, but across the world. I mean, everybody ready to fight. We're going to beat up anybody that comes near our door because we love everybody and we're like Jesus. And you're going, something doesn't add up here. Something's missing. We missed it, everybody. But we'll get another shot at it. Don't you worry. I don't think this is the last problem we're going to have. We're in the end days. Trouble's coming. Get ready. But it's difficult to grasp. We talk about God being sovereign. We talk about God and being in complete control. But you say, pray for me. I lost my job. And I don't know. We're going to die. Wait, was God in control the day you lost your job? Do you think God knew that your job loss was coming? He may not have mentioned it to you, but I know he knew. And if he's in charge, what have you got to fret about? The answer is nothing. But, and as soon as you say but, you just erased everything else. I trust God, but how am I going to pay for my house payment? My car is breaking down. I trust God, but I have no income. So I'm going to have to walk 50 miles one way, uphill, in the snow, barefooted, like my dad did. And I say, wait. Maybe not. Let's pray. You see, we know God's in control. We know God is sovereign. Then we turn around and fret, worry, complain, freak out. Some even, well, who knows? I can't tell you all the different things I've seen going on in the last 3 months. Just a lot of different things. Some people just quit because of where they are. Or what's going on in their lives. They just stop. I was walking with God, but I don't even think I know God anymore. And I don't understand. And I'm the story of Joseph and his brothers. It encourages us to recognize the sovereignty of God. Who is in charge? Is it you? Is it The police department? Who's in charge? Oh, yeah, people of authority are overseeing. And so there's mayors, there are mayors, there are judges, there are representatives, there are presidents, there are whatever there are. Yeah, okay, they have responsibilities. I'm not saying they don't, but here's what I'm saying. We learn to trust God and his promises no matter what is going on right before our very eyes. We do not quit. We don't lay down. We don't start cussing and saying, I'm not getting my way. Well, that was cute when you were three, but you're not three anymore. Quit stomping your feet and crying. Stand up and ask God what he wants you to do. And that's what those boys learn. That's what we're learning. Proverbs chapter 19, I know you've read it, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. I worked my whole life to do one thing. And in moments, I probably was coming for years, but in moments, I was no longer doing it. Everybody goes, no big deal. Well, it is if it's your whole life. Your whole life was kind of turned upside down for a few months. It was just completely different. And people were ready to move to Canada. And think about all these things. Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart, a woman's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that is what will come through. That is what will stand. Romans 8:28, you know this one. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 9 says, haste ye, hurry up, Joseph says. Go up to my father, go home. Go to my father, say to him, thus saith your son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't hesitate. Don't tarry. Come down. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near unto me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. And there will I nourish you. I'm going to take care of you because God's providing. I'm going to take care of you, nourish you. And yet there are 5 years of famine. We got five more years that you got to get through. Lest thou and thy household and all that you have come to poverty. Don't stay down there. Joseph says, come up here. I will take care of you. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth speaking to you. Let me say it in American. I'm not using an interpreter. It's really Joseph. I'm speaking to you in Hebrew. You know it's me. And you shall tell my father, verse 13, of all my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here, because Canaan is north. Just bring him down south here to Egypt. And he fell before his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. There's 5 years. Don't let my father stay down there. Get my father, all your children, all your families, and Pharaoh's going to take care of the rest of the details, so we'll get there in a moment, but you come up here. We prepared for it. We knew it was coming. We prepared. I'm going to take care of you because God is doing it. I'll take care of you. I'll see to it, and I'll get to see my dad. And I'll get to meet some of the family that I've never met. That'll be cool. It's really me. I'm speaking to you in Hebrew, not to an interpreter. And the boys finally gave him a hug and a kiss. They always kiss on each cheek, just like they do in Europe. That was a common greeting. So the brothers who sold their brother into slavery are hugging their brother, and they love him. And they're grateful to God for him now. See what God can do. Verse 16. The fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house. All the noise, in other words, got to Pharaoh's ears again. Joseph's brethren are come, they said. It pleased Pharaoh. Well, he was excited, he's and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this. Load your camels, your beasts, and go and get into the land of Canaan. And get your father and your household, and come to me. You come up here, Pharaoh said. I'll give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. I'll give you any. I'm going to take care of you. You're Joseph's family. You're my family. I'm going to take care of you. Now, you're commanded that you do this. Take wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Bring everybody back. He's giving them transportation. Also, do not regard your stuff. Leave your stuff behind. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You won't need to bring anything, just yourselves. And the children of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the trip both ways. To all of them, he gave each man a change of clothing, 10 of them. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes. In other words, they each got a new suit. And Benjamin got some silver and 5 new suits. And you know what the brothers said? Cool, let's go do it. It didn't bother them that Benjamin got more. Another little bitty test that they passed with flying colors. And to his father, he sent after this message. 10 donkeys laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she donkeys laden with corn and bread and food for his father on the way. That means his father and the whole troop, the whole gang. So he sent his brethren away. And they departed, and he said to them, see that you fall not out on the way. That is so cool. Joseph, I love him. See that you fall not out on the way. Because see, now they're going to go. They're fully loaded. They've got wagons now. People can ride a little more comfortably. Maybe some chariots, some probably armed guards with chariots. In other words, they're sending a whole shebang. Get your family. Don't bring your stuff. You know, just bring you know, what you need, and everything is here for you, and Pharaoh's going to take care of him. And I like it. And you know what Joseph says? I love you guys, man, and I'm thrilled, and I'm just praising God. So do me, I'm paraphrasing, do me a favor. When you get out of sight, don't start fighting among yourselves again. Say, yeah, see, you shouldn't have said, Judah, you should have never, way back then. It's not my, because he knows his brothers. Said, don't fight about it. Don't fall out. Don't argue on the way home. Just be glad that God is good. Okay, let's try to finish. And they went up out of Egypt, and they came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive. I bet you they were yelling it before they hopped off the camels or hopped off the wagons. You got to believe Joseph is alive. And he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted. Now, that's interesting. Because he couldn't believe it. His son's been dead for nearly 20 years. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph sent, filled with all kinds of things, and the wagons that are taking him back, Israel said, Jacob said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. So you guys, don't fight on the way home. I think that's a lousy Bible study. You know what? I think this whole Quran, you know what I think it is? I think it's a government plot. And you're going to fight with what? Why? Why not say God is good, isn't he? Just God is good. God, would you protect us from ourselves? God, would you protect us from everything around us? You are our God. They told Jacob the good news. Remember, his name is Israel. Joseph's alive. His heart fainted. He couldn't believe it. The language is so huge. The language, when it says his heart fainted, is that his heart was, it was too old to take the news he just got. Literally, a medical term, I don't know what the medical term would be, but the original language in the Bible says his heart went numb. Some suggest it may have been a mild heart attack. Because he's old, 130, okay? And that son has been dead forever, and he just, you know, it's the big one, Elizabeth, I'm coming, right? Wow. But he saw all the gifts that his son sent from Egypt. He said, it's true. I'm shocked. They probably sat him down. After all these years, my son is alive. I'm going to go see him before I die. Think about Jesus as we close now. I know it was long, but I had to put those two together. I apologize, but we had to keep them together. Jesus has taken upon himself, just like Judah did, the responsibility to take care of his brothers, to even die, if need be, for his brothers and his uncles and aunts and his family. In other words, Jesus, he's a type of Jesus there, Judah is. Jesus has taken upon himself the responsibility for us, hasn't he? He's called us into the promised land. He's called us into eternal life. And who's taking care of us? He said, I am. I'm working hard, and boy, we're not going to. Who's taking care of us? Jesus, our older brother, our brother, is taking care of us. He is providing. He's promised to never leave you, never forsake you. He is providing for what you need. You say, I'm struggling. Call out to the Lord. Ask the Lord. Pray. Trust. Rest in all these things. He's going to take responsibility for us to make sure that we come to the Father, isn't he? I'll read it. John chapter 14. Jesus, the night he was betrayed, said, John 14, verses 1 through 6, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And since I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you will be there also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. Joseph said, bring my family to me. Judah said, I'll take the responsibility. And they're going to bring everybody back together. That's what Jesus has done on the cross. Speaking about Jesus Christ, the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting, it was right for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. I'll read it again. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, God, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation complete through suffering. You watch Joseph and how he suffered, yet he realized it was nothing in the scheme of things. Now I get it. God did this so that all of you will be saved. Jesus suffered so that I could go to heaven, so that you could go to heaven. We need to receive him as our Lord and Savior. We need to receive him as our Lord and Savior. And the gospel is simple. That Jesus Christ, God Almighty, became flesh, dwelt among us, miraculously born, walked through this life completely sinless, fully God, fully man, went to the cross willingly, Jesus Christ, and suffered there, nailed between heaven and earth to that cross for 6 hours, and paid the full price for sin. The blood that was shed was the blood of God. He paid the price in full. He cried to Tetelestai, paid in full, it is finished. And he said, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, you come to me, I'll give you rest. The invitation is there. If you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, in other words, God in human flesh, confess with your mouth that he is risen from the dead, you are saved. It's a choice you make. People say, what's the prayer? The prayer comes out of you. There's no specific prayer the Bible ever gives us. The prayer comes from you. Save me, Lord. I do believe. I don't understand it all, but I believe. Save me. There's nowhere I can go. There's nothing I can do. I need you and I know it. And I don't understand it all, but I surrender all. Let's bow our heads together.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is a radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtice, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel.